It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0, improved to 39-19-7, 85 points on the year for the Vegas Golden Knights. Next in action Saturday, 9:30 a.m. puck drop in Buffalo against the Sabres. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game, not ideal to have to wait 12 minutes to get your first shot attempt, your first shot on goal. But when it goes in and your power play comes through, your penalty kill is excellent. Special teams certainly informed the way that this game proceeded from that point.
Yeah, that's true. And you heard Bruce Cassidy on the pregame show today reference the fact that the Knights only had one power play last game, despite really having the puck most of the time last game. And somehow the Penguins had four power plays. And today the power play opportunities were even, three aside. Vegas was 1-for-3, scored the early power play goal, as you remarked, and kept off the power play for Columbus, which was 0-for-3, and all of those power plays were in the first period, including the 4 minutes double minor with Dorofeev in the box. So, yeah, the special teams with the power play, which is just as hot as could be, right now with the percentage, you know, coming into the day, Ryan, over 29%. I mean, that's among the top five in NHL history by percentage, far from the top in terms of actual goals.
Yeah.
But first period, they sustained it. They survived it, and then they just rode the wave and got better as the night went along.
A big reason why they were able to survive that first period and have a lead going into the second was the play of Aiden Hill. You mentioned it, four shutouts now on the year. It's a second shutout in those last three starts. Coincidentally, it's one of those scenarios where Aiden Hill, when he's locked in, when he's dialed in, this is what he's able to do. This is what he can provide for the Vegas Golden Knights, in that if you have a period where you're spending a lot of time in your own zone, if Aiden's locked in, he provides that blanket of security for Vegas to get to their game eventually.
And he just really doesn't like cannons, like his head coach. The cannon was not fired, as Bruce Cassidy hoped for. Yeah, and against the Blue Jackets in his career, only a few games and only one win and a couple of losses, so it's not like you have a whole massive amount of history to reflect upon. You know, Hill has spent his career in the Western Conference, Samsonov with more experience against Columbus, but you got to go to your guy today after you go winless in two, and Hill bounces back, like you said. I would say it is just such a strange game, Ryan. You know, even against Los Angeles, when you end up giving six goals to the Kings, you know, like, the numbers aren't good, but there were times where, like, he did look locked in.
Yeah.
It's a funky thing. I would say on the whole, the marks are very high for Hill, even with that loss against L.A. We have a couple of shutouts here, and his first road shutout, too. I think that's an important number. The splits are not great, home versus away, for Aiden, but to get the first shutout on the road this year, as I mentioned earlier, now you've got six shutouts, and this the first one on the road, and it belongs to Aiden Hill. I think that's significant as well. You know that in a long playoff series, theoretically, winning on the road is going to be part of it. Mm-hmm. And that's a good sign here today in a hostile environment. So as Hill gets more and more locked in, as I mentioned, 39 games played now, starting those 39. You know, this is the most that he's played in his NHL career. It just seems to get better and better.
So Nick Waugh gets the power play goal to get things going for the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, Nick's found a little bit more scoring touch of late, but you look at the game today, and beyond the goal that he scored, I mean, he could have had three more, just the chances that he was getting. And that's a good sign for a player that, you know, has had moments here and there during the season, that right now, as, you know, you're hoping to get fully healthy, Nick Waugh is seemingly getting more and more of those chances down the lineup.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, how much of it is the juice of playing with Riley Smith. Mm. Of course, the first goal is a power play goal. You know, Mark Stone had a rough start to that power play. He was one of the first guys off. Several of the number one unit stayed on. Waugh was the guy who replaced Stone, and then Waugh helps create that that goal, obviously, with the finish set up by Jack Eichel. So, yeah, the power play touches, you know, the number two unit doesn't get a lot of touches. They did there, and obviously in the midst of changing units, they score. But I think that, you know, the combination of, you know, Riley Smith joining Nick Waugh's line for the last few games, you can't help but think more offensively. Nick's a very smart player.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always think of the fourth line as a high hockey IQ part of your lineup compared to the top part of the lineup. But when you put Riley Smith there, you know, Nick Waugh can then show off, you know, how he thinks the game on the offensive side. He's very responsible defensively, of course. You know, Bruce Cassidy mentioned how maybe his forecheck stretches this year was not as good as it has been. Different line mates and all that. But, you know, Riley Smith, just, you know, as he has so often through the years, rubbing off on his line mates. And I would say that that's got to be a part of it. But Nick has also been a streaky player through his career on the offensive side. So you just see the puck go in, a couple more points, and then for Nick, it just snowballs. You can just see the confidence starting to come more and more for him.
All right, Dan, any final thoughts on this one before we turn our attention to Saturday morning for me and the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, the cannon didn't go off. I have to admit, I was thinking about it all day.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting scared by it at the end of warmups, and I forgot. I did forget, and I was scared. Thankfully, I did not have a beverage in hand. A few years back, it might have been year two, we were here, and I tell you, it was like watching a train wreck in slow motion because I was prepared for the clock to run out, and the television booth is right next to us. We've got a big pane of glass. I could see right into Dave and Shane next door, and Dave was lifting a cup of coffee up to his mouth. It was like watching a train wreck in slow motion. No! As Dave was bringing the cup up to his mouth, the cannon fired, and he almost spilled. He did not. Dave's a pro.
Wow.
But today, nobody spilled anything. I was startled a little bit, but we only heard it the one time.
That's phenomenal stuff. Great, as always, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Saturday.
Thanks, Ryan.
The Vegas Golden Knights defeat the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0. Let's go to Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, well, it looked like we were going to early on. We weren't on time with our starter. Obviously, Aiden kept us in it early, and it wasn't like we were – it's just we were in a lot of time in our end. They had a strategy, obviously, to get every puck to the net. So there's a lot of action going on. So you got some anxiety around the front of the net. But, you know, we did work hard to keep it clean for the most part, manage the puck. And once we got to our game, I think special teams was a difference the first period. We get a power play goal, make a nice play, and then on our PK did a great job. Actually got some really good looks. So that gave us some life, and we carried that forward.
What changed after the first, did you think? Where'd you get better?
Well, we were just better. We played better. We didn't. I think we were on top of them more. We didn't allow them to come through the neutral zone. They got really fluid defensemen, guys that are mobile and can skate. If you limit some of that part of their game, you know, like I think they got a little antsy. Now they were behind, and all of a sudden the rush game goes our way. Right, Pav gets a nice goal. We start. Sider gets a breakaway. Nick Waugh is about, you know what I mean? It opens up for us a little bit, force them to defend the front of their net. And I think that's where it changed more was the second goal, to be honest. Like, you know, it was just a greasy, hard-working goal. Get to the front of the net, get a slot shot, a rebound, established position. And I think that's where you could take advantage of Columbus. We did a good job. And both our first period goals was top of the crease.
Nick Waugh obviously scored and had great chances for more. Is that one of the better games that Phoenix played?
Well, he's been good lately. Obviously, Riley Smith is giving him a boost. They're a good pair right now, so that's a good thing. You know, like you always want to start with pairs that complement one another, and Riley's been with Carly so long that, you know, I don't know how much he's, if ever he's played with Nick Waugh. I don't think so. In that first year, they saw much, and maybe they did before. Maybe there was already a chemistry. I don't know, but they certainly have fed off each other well and gives us another line that's dangerous.
What have you liked about the hurdle line?
Well, they finish, right? When they have chances, they finish. I think they're cleaning up their 200-foot game. That was always the worry before, is that are they going to check well? Are they going to reload well, take care of all the details? And they've done a good job with that, and it's led to offense. So they're getting that part of it. Happy for them that way, because then you're not worried. You use them in any situation, top line, fourth line, wherever they throw out the boards, where we're ready to go. So they've done a good job reading off each other. Like I said, I think they all are probably shoot first guys right now, but it's working. So it's not like anyone's getting left out there. Sometimes our team doesn't shoot enough, to be honest, so that's a good problem to have.
Thank you, Bruce.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 4-0 win for the Vegas Golden Knights over the Columbus Blue Jackets. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0. Vegas improves to 39-19-7 for 85 points on the year. Top spot right now in the Pacific Division, holding a 7-point edge over the Edmonton Oilers, who are trailing in the third period 3-2 to the New Jersey Devils. So we'll keep an eye on that as we move forward here in the postgame show. Also 8 points up on the Los Angeles Kings. So really solid spot right now for the Vegas Golden Knights at the top of the Pacific Division. We'll see how things shake out the rest of the way. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. As we mentioned, Brett Howden, Ivan Barbashev back into the lineup for the Vegas Golden Knights. They missed the game in Pittsburgh for personal reasons. William Karlsson is on the road trip, and as you heard from Dan and Gary over the course of the evening, William Karlsson is out of the red non-contact and into a regular jersey. So it looks promising. Nothing official, but it looks promising that William Karlsson could return as early as this weekend for the Vegas Golden Knights, as they're in Buffalo on Saturday and Detroit on Sunday. But we'll see. We'll keep an eye out. Right now, it would be amazing if the Golden Knights could get William Karlsson back into the lineup. Take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and it took the Golden Knights 12 minutes to secure their first shot on goal. However, that shot went in as the Golden Knights opened the scoring on Nick Waugh's power play goal.
Out to the right point for Hannafin. Tucks it along. Hurdle works to the slot. Hurdle feeds Eichel back door. They score! Nicholas Waugh. And on the first shot attempt, 12 minutes in, Vegas scores the power play goal.
Ninth goal of the year for Nick Waugh on the power play from Jack Eichel and Tomas Hertl. 12 minutes into that first period, made it 1-0 Vegas, and the Golden Knights extended their lead with a minute left in the first period when Brandon Saad won a battle in front before roofing a backhander by Elvis Merzlikins.
After the draw, puck went below the goal line. Merzlikins with a poke check knocked it away from Smith. Smith gets it back, shooting save, rebound, score! Brandon Saad gets the rebound, cleans it up with a roof jump backhander. The former Blue Jacket makes it 2-0 Vegas. 1 minute to go in the first period.
12th goal of the year for Brandon Saad from Riley Smith and Nick Waugh. 19:01 of that first period made it 2-0 Vegas. The Golden Knights took a 2-goal lead into the second period and made it 3-0 past the midway point of the game when Tomas Hertl delayed, then found Pavel Dorofeev for the goal.
And to Pavel Dorofeev, he goes up the far side, middle of the ice, tipped in, Hurdle with Saad cutting, Hurdle peels away, two options, got it to Dorofeev, he scores! Pavel Dorofeev, 3-0 Golden Knights.
26th goal of the year for Pavel Dorofeev from Tomas Hurdle and Brandon Saad. 12:17 of the second period made it 3-0 Vegas. So the Golden Knights would then take a 3-goal lead into the third period, and if the Columbus Blue Jackets had any aspirations of getting back into the game, you had to think there would be a strong push. It never came. And the Golden Knights put the game away with just over 4 minutes left on Alex Petrangelo's empty net goal.
Knights get it. Petrangelo fires from deep in his own zone. He scores! Alex Petrangelo, an empty net goal from 190 feet away. 4-0 Vegas, 4:22 to go in regulation.
Fourth goal of the year for Alex Petrangelo, an empty netter from Keegan Kolasar and Braden McNabb. 15:38 of the third period made it 4-0 Vegas, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
They'll kill the clock in their own zone, and the Knights fans in Columbus come to their feet. It's a final score in Columbus, 4-0. Vegas shuts out Columbus, and Aiden Hill records the first road shutout victory of the year for the Golden Knights.
There you have it. 4-0 the final. The Golden Knights shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets. Fourth shutout of the year for Aiden Hill. First shutout on the road for the Vegas Golden Knights. 39-19-7. 85 points. And atop the Pacific Division as the Edmonton-New Jersey game has just gone final. The New Jersey Devils defeat the Edmonton Oilers 3-2. So the lead for the Golden Knights to end the day is 7 points up right now on the Edmonton Oilers. The LA Kings, they'll drop the puck at 7:30 tonight against the Washington Capitals. So if LA picks up 2 points, they would leapfrog over the Edmonton Oilers into second spot in the Pacific Division. But they would still be 6 points back of the Vegas Golden Knights, even with a victory tonight for Los Angeles. If they don't pick up any points or lose the game to Washington, they'll remain 8 points back. So up to the minute standings right now in the Pacific Division. The Golden Knights top spot, 85 points in 65 games. The Edmonton Oilers behind them, 7 points back. The Edmonton Oilers, 78 points in 65 games. And the Los Angeles Kings right behind the Edmonton Oilers, a point back, 77 in 63 games. Take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Join your fellow VGK fans at the next official watch party on Sunday, March 16th at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort and Casino. Enjoy the spectacular setting at Stadium Swim and cheer the team on to victory as the Golden Knights face Detroit. Keep in mind that Circa is a 21 and over resort. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0. Vegas improves to 39-19-7, 85 points on the year. And as we just did, we'll do it again, kind of recap where things stand right now in the Pacific Division. The Golden Knights, top spot in the Pacific, 85 points. Behind them, the Edmonton Oilers, 78 points, and Los Angeles right behind Edmonton, 77 points. So as currently stated, the Golden Knights have a seven-point edge on the Edmonton Oilers and an eight-point edge on the Los Angeles Kings. Edmonton lost today in New Jersey 3-2, and the Los Angeles Kings are set to drop the puck in just a couple of moments against the Washington Capitals. That's how things are. That's where they stand right now in the Pacific Division as the Golden Knights are aiming to win the Pacific Division. Text line is always open for you, 702-876-1340. We're going to get to phone calls in just a couple of minutes. So sit tight, hang tight for that. But essentially, the majority of the text line is all about Aiden Hill, and rightfully so. Now, it's an interesting game in a lot of ways because, as we were talking about it with Dan Duva, Aiden Hill gave up 6 goals Sunday to the Los Angeles Kings. And yet, I still think he played a great game. LA had 18 shots on goal in the first period. Not dissimilar to what we had in this one today. Now, the Kings got to the inside a lot more than Columbus did in the first period on Sunday than today. But the fact remains that if Aiden Hill's not dialed in early on in this game, it's probably a different game going into the second period. Now, beyond Aiden Hill's brilliance, special teams were the story in the first period. Columbus has an early power play. They don't score. Then the Golden Knights, 12 minutes into the game, finally get their first shot attempt on goal. It's a power play goal for Nick Waugh. If you're Columbus, you have to feel defeated on the bench. And then right after that, the Blue Jackets get a double minor power play. 4 minutes. An opportunity to break the game open. And what ends up happening on that double minor is that the Golden Knights created more dangerous chances than the Columbus Blue Jackets did. Shorthanded, the Golden Knights were better at generating chances than the Columbus Blue Jackets power play. Talked about it going into the game, that the power play for the Golden Knights was the area of the game where they had the clear advantage. And it showed through. especially in that first period. And the fact of the matter is the Golden Knights stole momentum because of their power play. It has been top five all year. On the road, it's something different. I can't explain it. It's hard to really dial into it because it just feels like every time they go to the man advantage, they're going to score. And it wasn't a traditional power play goal in the sense of it's not Mark Stone going across the grain to Tomáš Hertl or Pavel Dorofeev. It was Hertl kind of creating a different lane, going down to Jack Eichel, who was where Mark Stone would be, and Nick Waugh coming onto the ice as Mark Stone left the ice right there back door. It's a bang-bang play. It is a great and high-executed play. But it was a different wrinkle and a different look, and it was what they needed in the moment. And so when you have a power play like the Golden Knights do, and you're in a game like tonight that the Golden Knights were in, where you don't really have it going, you're not really at the top of your game for 12, 13, 14 minutes at a time, to be able to wrestle that momentum, to be able to be up in a game, to be able to not have to chase like they had over the last two games was massive. It was huge. And so you look at the play of Aiden Hill. You look at the commitment to penalty killing the right way. And you look at timeliness and execution of the chances the Golden Knights had. Opportunistic is a word. At times, it pays to be an opportunistic team. I know the Blue Jackets had a lot of zone time and possession in that first period. But even still, I thought the Golden Knights did a pretty good job keeping them to the outside, allowing Aiden to kind of settle himself into the game. And then from there, when the Golden Knights had a lead, it was automatic. It was a no-doubter. And that's what you wanted to see from this team. Now they've got three out of a possible 4 points so far on this road trip. And it's important now for the Golden Knights to kind of keep this going. Talked about not changing much, sticking with the process, stay the course. The same thing coming out of this game, though I would argue they want a better start on Saturday in Buffalo. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the VGK Post Game Show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights defeat the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0. Vegas improves to 39-19-7, 85 points on the year. Top spot in the Pacific Division, next in action Saturday, 9:30 a.m. in Buffalo against the Sabres. Golden Knights wrapping up this four-game road trip with a back-to-back on the weekend. You got Buffalo on Saturday, Detroit on Sunday. Vegas has three out of a possible 4 points so far, so 7 points on this road trip is in play for the Vegas Golden Knights. And it feels probable in a lot of different ways. It was this time 2 years ago where the Golden Knights really kind of found their game, hit their stride in the stretch drive to winning a Stanley Cup. And for the Golden Knights, it's the time to build the game. It's the time to get the game in order for 60 minutes. And even you look at tonight's game. Though the Golden Knights did win, though they won 4-0, it wasn't that 60-minute game you're after if you're Bruce Cassidy. Now, I'd make the argument it was a 60-minute game for Aiden Hill, and that's why you were able to win this one 4-0. If Aiden Hill is shaky in the early going, all of a sudden you're in a hole, you're trying to come back in a game, you're fighting it a little bit, and it didn't happen. But, I mean, you look at this one, it's 48 really good minutes for the Vegas Golden Knights. They get the goal, they're feeling good about where their game is at, and then in the second and third period they absolutely pull away to the point that they outshoot for the game the Columbus Blue Jackets 29-27. All in all, a solid win for the Vegas Golden Knights, and now they look to keep this going Saturday and Sunday in Buffalo, then Detroit. That'll do it for us here on the VGK Postgame Show. Extended Postgame Show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network Postgame Show. For the station staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-0 the final. The Golden Knights shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's four shutouts on the year for Aiden Hill. First shutout for the Vegas Golden Knights on the road all season long. Vegas improves to 39-19-7, 85 points. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. I want to hear from you. The Golden Knights are 7 points up on the Edmonton Oilers and 8 points up on the Los Angeles Kings for the top spot in the Pacific Division. There's 17 games remaining for the Vegas Golden Knights from this point forward. Do you think the Golden Knights are going to win the Pacific Division? Very simple, very easy. If you are listening to this show right now, I want you to pick up the phone and dial the number 702-876-1340. Do you think the Golden Knights are going to win the Pacific? Also, we can talk about Jack Eichel. His assist tonight sets a new franchise record for points in a season with 79, and he's got 17 games of runway left. How high can Jack Eichel fly? Could he hit 100 points? If you say yes, dial the number. If you say no, dial the number. Either way, I want to hear from you. Will the Golden Knights win the Pacific, and will Jack Eichel hit 100 points? That's what I'm after in the extended postgame show tonight. 702-876-1340. The line's open. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, they will and he might. That's a quick answer for you.
That's not on the fence at all, Mike.
Okay, well, they will win the division. He might get 100
no,
points.
No, close. Stop. Okay, if you're going to answer the question, I need a definitive yes or no. It's okay to be wrong, Mike. I'm wrong all the time.
Oh,
it happens.
I
so I just want you to go out on a limb, get off the fence, and say definitively once and for all, yes or no, will Jack Eichel hit 100 points?
All right, I'll put it out there and say no, he will not. And the only reason I say that is because he won't get the playing time in the last week or two that he needs to do it. That's the only thing that will keep him from it, I think. But if he gets the same time on ice, 20-plus minutes, night after night after night, then, yes, he will break it. Now, that's hedging a little bit.
That's hedging completely. What do you mean a little bit?
Well, if he doesn't get the playing time, he won't get the record. It's as simple as that. He's not going to make the record if he sits out a game or two and has a maintenance day or whatever. And he could, and he should. I mean, my goodness. If we win the division by a goodly amount, why not sit Jack Eichel a little bit? You're not going for records. You're going for the cup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, Coach Cassidy isn't going to play him just so he can get to 100. I know that. So that's my only hedge, but it's not a bad hedge, and I'll stick with that. What I do want to talk about is this battle for second place has become very, very interesting. Because I don't think people realize it, and I know you do, Ryan. The Kings have the best home record in hockey.
Yes,
I believe. And if they jump over the Oilers, which they are about to do, that's going to mean that well, they're going to have to lose Game 7 at home if that goes to Game 7, and that's very interesting, isn't it?
to your point, the Los Angeles Kings are 21-3-4 at Crypto.com Arena, and it pains me so much to say Crypto.com Arena, but that's the name of it. It's the Los Angeles Kings and the Edmonton Oilers, at least right now, it feels like they are on a collision course to meet in the playoffs for a fourth straight year. And if LA has home ice advantage, I feel like the dynamic of that series changes.
Yeah, it has to. It absolutely has to. Not only does the dynamic of the series change, but Edmonton has to start winning and winning consistently to be able to just not only get to the playoffs, but to be in a position to play well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You can't do that by winning 2 out of 10. It doesn't work that way. And I'm sure they'll start winning, but will it be too late? And that's a real good question. Here we are playing Calgary, and they're killing each other, or whoever we play, and they're killing each other. All of a sudden, we're in the Campbell Bowl whomever.
Yeah, it's not as easy a path as it might be, thinking that you're getting the Calgary Flames. Likely for the Golden Knights, it'll be whoever ends up in that first wild card spot, and right now that's the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, and one other thing, if you would please. Yeah. Explain the difference between a double minor and a major. It's 1 minute of difference. How does it work in terms of a team being able to score?
Yeah.
In a double minor situation, does the referee go over to the offending bench or the defending bench and say, are you bleeding? How does that work?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, if there's an injury on the play, in this instance, if there's blood or something like that, you can assess a double minor. It's not a major penalty in that a double minor, you can only score once per power play pocket of time. So if a team scores in the first 2 minutes, then that penalty is erased. The rest of the time is erased, and then you start with a fresh two-minute power play if you are the team that received the double minor. If it's a major, you have 5 minutes, you can score as many times. So it doesn't reset the time after a power play goal. So when you're a team trying to kill one off, if you're going to allow a goal, you want it to be at 2 minutes and 1 second as opposed to 1 minute and 59 seconds. And if you allow a goal 1 minute and 59 seconds, then you've got to kill another full 2 minutes as opposed to 2 minutes and 1 second. Power play time is done. Hopefully that makes it a little bit more clear. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. Will the Golden Knights win the Pacific Division? Will Jack Eichel eclipse 100 points this year? Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
The answer is yes and yes. They got to keep playing well, and the only way to do that is to keep playing the way they're playing.
So what are you liking right now about the Golden Knights game?
Well, they're coming together slower than they have been, I think, in years past, but you know they've been able to do some things I think that they haven't done with very consistent goal play, and I think they're going to finish up strong and probably make it into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it's interesting, Chris, and thanks for the call. The idea that you know the Golden Knights are kind of getting to this point in the season a little bit slower than what they might have had in the past. It's really interesting when you go through the numbers. And because everyone wants to compare the Golden Knights of this season, and really it's going to be every season in perpetuity, to the team that won the Stanley Cup, you dig into the numbers at different mile markers of the year. Coming into tonight's game, the Golden Knights in 22-23 had a record of 30-20-6 through 64 games. It's 82 points. Coming into today, the Golden Knights had a record of 39-18-7 for 83 points. They were 1 point better at the same mile marker this year than they were the year that they won the Stanley Cup. Now, I preface this by saying that team that year went 13-2-3 down the stretch. Final 18 games, 13-2-3. So this year's version of the Vegas Golden Knights, well, they're 1-0 in that spot. So we'll see how things end. We'll see how they go. But in terms of how you view individual seasons and how you view getting to certain points of the season and where you want to be ahead of schedule, behind schedule, points-wise, all of it, it's always funny to use that guidepost from what happened when you won. And it would appear to me anyway that the Golden Knights this season are right on schedule compared to what they were the year they won the Stanley Cup. Some food for thought as we get into the final 17 games of the year. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. Will the Golden Knights win the Pacific Division? Will Jack Eichel eclipse 100 points? That's what I'm after. That's what I want to hear from you tonight. 702-876-1340. Dial the number. We're taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-0 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Columbus Blue Jackets. Vegas 39-19-7, 85 points on the year. Next in action Saturday, 9:30 a.m. in Buffalo against the Sabres. 702-876-1340 is the number. We have lines open right now, so I encourage you to pick up the phone, dial the number. Will the Golden Knights win the Pacific Division? Will Jack Eichel eclipse 100 points? Very simple, very easy. I want to hear from you tonight. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Marianne. Hey, Marianne, how you doing?
Hi, Ryan. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
My answer is absolutely double ditto yes on both. Because there's just no way, especially with Carlson coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Just like last game, everybody was naysaying already, like, because they did what they did. But yet, they did great. And with Carlson out, Theodore out, Howden was out, right, last game?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
so was Barbashev.
Yep.
And that makes the biggest difference. And you can't help when babies come, you know. People are... They're human beings. They deserve time off, you know.
Yeah.
But they came back today and proved that. So they're on their way. And with Eichel back with Carlson in, I think there's just going to be more chances for him to score. So I think, yes, on both. We're going to win the division, and Eichel will go over 100 points.
All right. Great stuff there, Marianne. Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, with William Karlsson on the horizon, with the way things are going right now for the Golden Knights, I'm really interested to see what Bruce Cassidy is going to do with the line combinations, because you've got Hurdle driving a line, you've got Eichel driving a line. Brett Howden, to me, is a player that can move up the lineup to play with Eichel and Stone. When Karlsson comes back, do you go with a line of Barbashev, Karlsson, and Howden? Are you able to move Tanner Pearson down to play with Waugh and Riley Smith? Like, there's so many options on the table. I'll be interested to see what Bruce Cassidy is able to do when fully healthy. 702-876-1340 is the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Jamie. Hey, Jamie, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm good.
I have a couple of goofy questions for you.
Okay.
The first one, usually on your pregame show, right at the end of the show, you play some music, and it's got like a crazy chord progression. Who
okay.
is that?
I don't know. I don't play the music. I'm not responsible for the music that's played.
Oh, if you could find out, that'd be wonderful, just because it's just wild.
Got it.
So yes and yes are my answers. I just want to see Jack do get his 100 points. He deserves it.
All right, yeah. Thank you for that, Jamie. I was just told the band, in terms of that chord progression at the end, it's called The Ventures, so seek them out. That's what I got for you. As far as Jack Eichel goes, 100 points. Okay, so he's 21 points away, 17 games. It's right there for him. It's certainly an option on the table, I think, for Jack Eichel. Now, what you've seen out of Jack this year has been a lot in terms of facilitating. He's on the doorstep of 60 assists so far this season, 20 goals for Jack Eichel. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and beyond just saying that Jack Eichel gets to 100 points, I think Jack Eichel is going to score 30 goals. And I know that that's asking for 10 goals over the final 17 games, but Jack's shot is too good for that not to happen. And I think what you're noticing now on the power play, more so than at the beginning of the year, is that Jack is a legitimate threat to shoot a one-timer from the circle. And so in that scenario, if the Golden Knights continue to find success on the power play down the stretch, if Jack is more and more willing to take that one-timer shot to open up other things, those pucks are going to go in. So I'm thinking Jack Eichel does eclipse 100 points, and I'm thinking Jack Eichel has 30 goals when all is said and done. So we'll see what ends up happening at the end of the season, but that's kind of my bold prediction there. 702-876-1340 is the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Andrew. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? This is kind of a side question. Do you think that Cassidy puts Carlson and Smith on a line just to get Carlson rolling again, and since he has that old chemistry with Smith, and get Smith rolling too? Or do you think that you don't think that might happen?
So, Andrew, I'm cautious to say that that's what you get initially, because I think Riley Smith has done some real good for Nick Waugh. And right now, that's a pair that's working for the Golden Knights. And I just think that you have an opportunity and a little bit of runway to see what different combinations you might look to. So if I had to guess, like, let's just say for the sake of argument, William Carlson is ready to go on Saturday against Buffalo, I would have Carlson between Barbashev and Kolesar. I would move Brett Howden up to the wing alongside Mark Stone and Jack Eichel. And I would probably have Riley Smith continue on the line with Nick Waugh. That's how I would run it initially. And then from there, you can kind of see how things shake out.
I got you. That makes sense. Plus, it's better to do it now than in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would guess that it'll be fluid. From the time Carlson's back in the fold until the beginning of the playoffs, I think you're going to see some different combinations from Bruce Cassidy to try to determine how to best deploy four really good lines. Because when the Golden Knights are healthy and they're a deep team, if you can build four lines you can roll over and trust in all situations, it's going to make you a nightmare to play in the playoffs.
Thanks.
All right, great call, Andrew. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the Extended Post Game Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Post Game Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-0 the final. Golden Knights shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets. Vegas improves to 39-19-7, 85 points on the year. Next in action, Saturday, 9:30 a.m. puck drop, 8:30 a.m. pregame show. Good morning. It'll be a blast. In Buffalo against the Sabres, it is an early weekend for the Golden Knights. You got Buffalo Saturday, 9:30 a.m., Sunday, Detroit, 10 a.m. Set your clocks, your alarm clocks, accordingly. And for the Golden Knights, it's just a solid win. Didn't start off great. Aiden Hill was really sharp in the early stages, the early goings. The Golden Knights didn't get a shot attempt until 12 minutes into the first period when Nick Waugh scored on the power play. Then Vegas never looked back. They had a 2-0 lead after the first period, a 3-0 lead after the second period, and they convert an empty netter with about 4.5 minutes left in the third period. Alex Pietrangelo, his fourth goal of the year, to button up a 4-0 shutout victory for Aiden Hill. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to Vanessa Lejos down here making sure everything sounds great. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio for keeping us on the air. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your post game show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls and your input. Until Saturday morning, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.